Sold tape.
The champ is
Champions
here.
Live is the name. Talking sports is our game.
Welcome to my
We are back with Soul Take Champions Live, coming to you live from Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. All you folks across this great nation of ours are tuned in to the newest and best sports talk show that you've ever heard in your entire life. And I'll just go on record to say that. I could be wrong. I've been wrong before. I had the Steelers winning the Super Bowl this year, so I've been known to miss one or two. But what hasn't been missed is, there's a little bit of parity going on in college basketball these days. You know, the dominance of the UCLA, or the dominance of the Duke, North Carolinas, the dominance of the Syracuses, those days have kind of gone by the wayside, and you see a fluctuation of who's doing what in NCAA basketball on the Division I level, and now's a good time, I think, to call attention to what's going on, Kev. You've got some back and forth going on. You got West Virginia in the mix one week and not in the mix the next. You got Virginia number one day and number six the next. So what's going on with college basketball?
Well, you mentioned West Virginia. West Virginia has been falling for quite some time, so I'm not sure – exactly what they're going to do to actually right their ship. Had an opportunity to watch Virginia Tech beat Virginia, and Virginia is still number one, but that was a very good game.
It was a great game.
And
Virginia Tech had it.
Virginia Tech had it twice
and let it get away.
You're saying Virginia had it and let it get away because Virginia Tech won. They beat Virginia.
No, I thought Virginia won that game.
No, Virginia went down.
Was it a single overtime?
I'm not sure exactly.
It was a single overtime. What am I thinking about then? Okay. That's my second mistake of the year. The Steelers won the Super Bowl, and who won the Virginia Tech-Virginia game?
Virginia Tech beat Virginia 61-60.
Okay, I thought that was an overtime game, if memory serves me right.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, go ahead.
But anyway, Virginia is still, number one in the country. And what people are talking about with this Virginia team, Virginia has always been known to play good defense. Now, once they get into March Madness, the big tournament, will they be able to win in the tournament? So could they just win during the regular season? Is that their stick? Or do they have enough to really make a Final Four run or an opportunity to actually win at all?
The experts are telling you now that no, because while they pose one of the best defenses in college basketball and pretty much eliminating their opponents to less than 60 points a game on average, they're – offense does not rank high,
mm-hmm.
and it's going to be a matter of time before they run into a buzzsaw that can match them defensively and outscore them. You've got to be – while you're shutting people down, you've got to be able to have the ability to score more points, and I don't know if Virginia can do that.
Now, we sit up here all the time, Bill, and we say defense, defense, defense. Defense win championships.
All right.
Now you're saying when it comes to men's college basketball, that's not the case.
Well, I'm not saying that. That's what some other people said.
Uh-huh. So
I'm just telling you what somebody else said.
Well, I'm asking you, what do you believe?
Well, I believe that, actually. In that instance, I think that defense does win games. But I think it's worth noting that If this Virginia team is not able to improve their offense, mm-hmm. Then their defense may not be able to save them.
And the good thing about it, again, this isn't college football where you have to have a committee that selects the top four teams. Okay, yeah, there's a committee for, the 64, 65 teams that will be selected for March Madness. However, you know, that's a large field, and for the most part, things are resolved on the court.
It's early, certainly early as NCAA basketball goes. We're not at March Madness as of yet, and plenty of time for all those things to bear themselves out. But I think that, you know, when you're sitting in the number one spot, they're going to start coming at you with this, that, and the other. And one would think that given the level of defense that they have and the offensive ability that they have, they'll be in the fray. You know, a lot remains to be seen. Teams like Louisville, mm-hmm. not having a great year. Teams like Duke, not having a great year. Team like North Carolina that's on the edge of goodness, not greatness. Those teams with long people, those teams with long, tall front courts, those teams that can rebound the ball well, when it gets into March, can, especially when you get into those Sweet 16 and Final Eight rounds, can really make a difference. So
yeah.
It becomes a matter of, you know, who's still standing and how tall they remain.
And right now Duke is number 12 and North Carolina is number 14. And again, when it comes to the tournament, it's all about seeding. You want to get a real good seed. Now, one team that is really playing well is Michigan State. Now, Michigan State actually, their record against the top 10 AP 25 teams. Let me go back. Their record against the top 10 AP 25 teams is 3-1. Okay, so that tells me when there's big games, Michigan State actually shows up and play real good ball.
And they have great coaching.
Real good coaching.
Yeah.
And that's very important from a tournament standpoint, too. When you have someone that's done it, been there.
And not being threatened to be locked up.
No, I'm not sure where that's coming from.
Well, I'm just saying Michigan State's been, you know, locking up.
Oh, that's where you're going.
They've been locking up people the last week or so.
Well,
so as long as
there's been a lot of pressure at Michigan State, you know, regarding that. So hopefully there's nothing that would put him away or anyone else.
Yeah. Hopefully we don't find out anything under the – well, you know, I think that was – and that we probably shouldn't make too much light of that because it was a serious circumstance.
Very serious.
And clearly – and we don't – you know, we don't mean to offend anybody. We know that the circumstances were serious and important and that the things that went down clearly were matters of life and breath. So I guess, Kev, it's safe to say that as we move towards March Madness, it becomes a matter of only the strong will survive as usual. But my reference out the gate was that we don't have those dominating teams as we have had in days gone by. And certainly the ACC, the most dominant conference in the land, you know, you're not looking at an absolute Duke or an absolute North Carolina. A lot remains to be seen about who can survive going down the stretch. But I can tell you this. We have someone with us that can help us understand that.
Okay.
There's two things. You know, they say in the entertainment industry, if you're identified by a single name, then you must have made it to the top of the field. You know, if they say Michael, you know it's Michael Jackson. If they say Cher, you know it's Cher.
Uh-huh.
And if you say Dap, who's that?
Yeah.
Do you know who that is?
Darrell Porter.
You know it's Darrell Porter.
Uh-huh.
So. We are joined by –
And I'll just interrupt you since you went there as well before you do the introduction. Right. How powerful is it when you just say a letter like B? Who's B?
Well, Beyonce.
Oh, there you go.
Well
– I just had to throw that out there, you know?
I hesitated.
And you got issues.
You did hesitate. Well, listen, ladies and gentlemen, we're joined by Darrell Porter. That what's the A stand? I never knew what the A stood for.
Allen.
Darrell Allen Porter joins us at this time. So I trust in grade school you didn't use Allen too much.
Didn't use it too much.
So we're joined by the great Darrell Porter. Now I'm going to challenge Kevin Cameron on something that I'm sure he doesn't know. What else was Darrell very good at in high school athletics, Kevin? You know him as a great basketball player, but did you know the other skills he possessed at Perry High School?
Football.
Did you know position?
Quarterback.
Okay, take another guess. Because Rick Cannon will have your head about that.
I was doing pretty good for a minute,
you
right?
Was, no, you was 50-50, yeah, but Rick Cannon will have your head. Right. But Darrell, is it safe to say that you could have gone Division I as a wide receiver?
Yes. I had numerous offers to play football, so I had a lot of decisions, a lot of options, which was good. And then I decided on playing basketball, but I could have went and played football at a lot of – big time major university.
Did you have a concussion and say, no, I can't do this anymore?
No. Actually, it came down to I was a big football fan, and Penn State, West Virginia, and Pitt, they all ran the ball. And I was a wide receiver. So after watching somebody for 5 years, running the ball, they had Charles Gladman, they had Brian Davis, they had Ironhead. The list goes on. They weren't going to stop
just because you
handing off the ball to pass right, to right. somebody.
And
so
you didn't let anyone from Penn State in your house, did you?
Actually, Joe Paterno came up to the school. It was the first time some people who worked at Perry had seen some of these big time coaches coming, but Joe Paterno came. And a host of other guys, so I had some decisions to make.
Well, officially welcoming to Soul Take Champions Live, Darrell Porter, a great high school player out of Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, who played at Perry Traditional Academy, where they won several titles. He is a wide receiver on a great football team and a great football program, but even greater as a member of their state championship basketball teams and great talent that they had at Perry, to be sure. And as he just alluded to, made the decision to go play basketball at Pitt. So I'm going to challenge you one more time, Kev. Darrell, the reason I'm challenging Kev is because he continues to try to suggest to me that he knows more about sports than I do. And you may or may not know that Kevin hails from Aliquippa, which is where part of that comes from, just thinking they know more than the rest of the world.
Well, but if it's natural, it's natural.
But do you know who has the number one dunk in University of Pittsburgh basketball history? Now think about what you think you know, and then rethink.
Jerome Lane.
Guess again.
No, that's an opinion.
But
right?
That would be the guess.
That's an opinion, right?
And that's a fair guess.
Yeah.
Well, Jerome Lane.
All I know, which dunk do you see on ESPN year after year after year?
And be careful, because this kind of Darrell gets a little upset about that very issue, you know. But the voters would have, as I am told, there's a great, great Darrell Porter dunk that was voted greater than, believe it or not, the Jerome Lane backboard glass Brinke dunk, right?
Well, like you said, it's so many people's opinion. It was a nice play. Had a nice tip dunk at Madison Square Garden over Alonzo Mourning, and a lot of people say that that's one of the best plays, but it was a good play.
Darrell, don't get humble on me now, man. This is no time for humility.
I'm going to have to Google that, Darrell.
It's Googleable.
I'm going to have to Google that.
It's Googleable because I seen it. As a matter of fact, I didn't
YouTube
know.
It.
Well, in basketball, Darrell.
You can YouTube it.
Yeah, Darrell was a guest speaker, a guest coach at our Armin Gilliam Hartwork basketball camp last year. And it was brought to our attention at that time. And then we were all huddled around to see that dunk that I had stored in the back of my mind. But of course you would think Jerome Lane's was great. But if you see this dunk, you could reconsider your vote. That's for sure. Mm-hmm. That's for sure. Mm-hmm. So listen.
Did they restructure the way the rims are designed or anything, or the backboard?
Actually, at Pitt, we had some of the first breakaways, because Darrell Dawkins and some other guys in the NBA were breaking glasses.
Right.
Earlier that year, Charles Smith had cracked the rim.
Yeah.
Where the rim came down but not shattered the glass.
Mm-hmm.
So that was the beginning stages. And I'm sure that they came up with some better technology after Jerome broke the backboard.
Well, that gives me an opportunity to kind of go down memory lane a little bit and then make a right turn. So having said those illustrious names, yourself, of course, Darrell, I believe you're second all-time assist leader currently?
I think I might have moved down to third or fourth because some of those guys played more games.
Yeah.
My assist per game is high.
Okay.
But the way they did the schedule, they added more games to the collegiate schedule. Now they play two or three more games.
Yeah.
Over the course of 4 years, that's an extra 10 games.
Well, this is our show, so we'll leave you number two.
So you have the best average, right?
I had the best average.
And then listen, and that's monumental. We're talking about the University of Pittsburgh nationally historic basketball program. I mean, that's nothing to sneeze at. But yourself and Jerome Lane and Charles Smith and Clyde Vaughn and Sam Clancy and Larry Harris and Kirk Bruce and Billy Knight, an endless list of great talent. Many of the guys were in town a week or so ago for a little bit of a reunion and introduction at the Pitt University game at halftime. And it was I had a good opportunity to talk with Charles and Jerome. And let's having gone down memory lane with those names, let's move quickly to the status of Pitt basketball today. Now, Darrell, you played the game. You've coached the game. You were a coach at Duquesne University. So you've coached a Division I team on a major level, also a historic school. Let's just continue to beat this dead horse just a little bit more because he's getting beat to death. Your alma mater is in maybe the worst state it's been in the modern era, to be sure. 0-15, 0-14 in the ACC conference, and Kevin Stallings with his back firmly against the wall. It looks bad.
Well, I'll tell you what, they are struggling. And sometimes it takes one game to get a win and then you can get it moving. But they haven't been able to do that. And they're overmatched. They had a lot of guys transfer. They have a lot of young guys playing. And then they're in one of the best leagues. Every night they're playing somebody who was ranked in the top 25. If they aren't in the top 25 now, last week before they got beat by somebody else in the league, they were in the top 25. So it's a no nights off league, and I don't think they have enough firepower to make a dent this year.
So some rapid fire questions, because this is on all the talk shows every night after the game or throughout the course of the week. Number one, do we put the blame on Kevin Stallings, not only for now but for what may have been created last year when he ran into the first level of difficulties?
Well, I tell you what, usually they give a coach 3 or 4 years to get their own players, get their own system. And the Pitt job was not a job where they were losing and they let the coach go. It was a job where they were real successful and the coach decided to leave. So in those situations, you think that there's the cupboard's not bare. They usually have some good players, but different styles. Some guys don't play in that style as effective as they did in the previous style, so they struggled. I really thought they were going to win 25 and get to the NCAA tournament because they had a veteran team. And when that didn't happen.
You're saying last year you thought that?
Yeah, last year.
Well, I tell you this. I went on record numerous times to say that, like the Steelers, this is the sore spot in Kevin's throat, like the Steelers prematurely and unnecessarily letting James Harrison go, Pitt University, I think, made a mistake in encouraging Jamie Dixon's departure. I think the evidence of his level of coaching is being bore out today at his alma mater. I think that be careful what you wish for, reared its ugly head. I think that it's reasonably safe to at least give a 50-50 consideration. I don't buy into this notion that the players quit on Stallings last year. I was at every home game. I didn't see any quit. Now, were they discontent? Was there some discontent? Were they unhappy? That could be. But I didn't see these guys quitting, and I fight against that because, to me, it suggests some kind of attitude that could be attributed to black athletes. And I stayed away from buying that notion. But at the same time, the coach, by others' admission, were throwing some of the players under the bus and blaming them for losses, thus the departure of players from the program. So your assessment on that?
Well, I tell you what, now it's so strange because every year there's 3 or 4 guys transferring. Before, when I played, maybe one guy every 3-4 years would transfer. Now they have the graduate transfer. They have a lot of different roles, so there's a lot of turnover. Unfortunately for Pitt, they brought in a lot of young guys and weren't able to bring in maybe some of those graduate transfers that could give you some senior leadership, some experience. And when they're playing with guys who don't have experience playing in the best league, if you don't have one of the top recruiting classes in the country, they're probably not going to fare well.
So as a coach, as a former player, as a coach, looking at this Pitt basketball team, knowing, and I'll tell you, I'll give you this, these guys played to the buzzer. I don't see any quit in them either. Clearly, they're not good enough. I mean, they're just not talented enough to beat the likes of the teams in the ACC. But when you're watching a game, what is it that you think you could do to get a win? Is it in your mind as a coach, is there something you would do different? And this is not to slight the present coach, but it's another coach's opinion.
It would be nice to get a Brian Shorter or a Charles Smith to put on that court.
or turn a shot clock off and freeze the ball.
One player in college basketball could make a big difference.
I agree.
And unfortunately, they don't have that one player who could turn it around. And it's a struggle.
And if I can talk about that point that you just brought up, one player. Was that one player, Cameron Johnson, who transferred from Pitt to North Carolina? Because when you can leave one place and go to North Carolina and be a starter at North Carolina, you're a pretty good basketball player.
Cameron's a very good basketball player. I was not happy to see him go in the league. A guy came back from Arizona, so he couldn't go to Arizona. He looked at some other options, wound up going to Carolina, but he definitely could have made a big difference. And then if Luther wasn't hurt and you have Cameron, that's 4 or 5 wins right there that you could probably have, and it wouldn't seem as bad. I don't think that it would turn the whole season around, but they would probably have 4 or 5 wins in the league and maybe be a 500 team.
So you clearly think Ryan Luther's departure is a big loss.
Ryan Luther was a big loss, but it was even bigger when you lost Cameron before that. So he was the only one coming back who had some experience who could get a double-double and produce some numbers where you might get a win.
Don't laugh at this, either of you, but let me just offer this, given the state of affairs now. For as much as there was humor surrounding Knicks, the 6'11" player that came into Pitt at about 350 and worked himself down to about 290 and became very serious about wanting to be a college player, couldn't he be of use to this team right now, even though he was so limited in skills?
I think somebody with his size can play with this type of caliber for limited minutes. Yeah. He might could give him 15, 20 minutes if you break it up, and he could be effective.
And use his fouls.
Use his fouls. But, again, they have to have some firepower. He wasn't a big scorer. He might could clog up the lane, get some rebounds, but they need some points.
Mm-hmm. Well, I can tell you this. B.B. Flannery still has some issues about you getting the Duquesne University job, and you know we're all good friends. But B.B. shakes his head and says, I still don't understand how that happened. And I happen to think it was miraculous as well. I just think it was highly unusual that a crosstown rivalry institution would hire a great player from that other institution. But be that as it may, there was questions about you rising that quickly to a program of that stature. Could Brandon Knight have taken this team in a better direction? And I
really think Brandon could have helped out because he had relationships with the players. And then you don't see as many players leaving when they have a connection with somebody.
That's the thing.
Relationships make a big thing.
Yeah, so people make a big deal about whether he was ready for being able to coach at this level. To me, it's like being president of the United States. If you never had the job, you don't know how good you can be at it until you get it. I think they made a bit of a mistake not taking a shot on Brandon Knight, given that they weren't able to get other big-name player coaches.
Well, they did the same thing with Jamie. He was an assistant, and then he bumped up. So sometimes you get an opportunity, you can do some things.
Well, you know, I won't hesitate to put this kind of thing on the table, but there are some murmurs that Pitt may not have wanted to hire our young black coach. Do you think there's any truth to that?
I'm not sure. I think that in today's time, they should try to hire the best coach available. Yeah. We should be a little further from that issue. And I'm just hoping that they didn't think he was the best coach available. That's why he didn't get the job.
Hey, we're going to come right back with Dap. We'll be right back.
Tune in weeknights at 8 p.m. for The Nightcap, your favorite slow jams for lovers. Or maybe you want to sit back, relax, and unwind. After a long day at work, you'll need a nightcap. So relax. We'll handle the rest. It's The Nightcap on Urban Media Today Radio. Call RSG Financial for your bookkeeping, accounting, and tax service needs. Call 412-742-4345. RSG Financial provides accounting and tax services for business and personal needs. Call us or email Mary Jo at RiversideSalesGroup.com. Riverside Sales Group is proud to be an organization with minority ownership. Call today, 412-742-4345.